It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And yes, indeed, as John Fox says, here we go, off and running on this, the penultimate day of October 2019. It is the 30th day of October 2019. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where we gather every evening between 6 and 9 p.m., Monday through Friday, 6 and 9 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific, and all times in betwixt. We gather here, and we gather at HeadOn.live in the chat room there. You're welcome to join in as well. Just go to HeadOn.live, click on chat room. If you're already signed up, jump right in. If you're not, pick out a screen name and a password, jump in. You'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Barkway. Hi, Barkway. Long time no see. And Squeaky, and capably moderated by pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. And, the merriment, the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room will begin by greeting you. There's Jimmy popping in from the great Northwest in the mid-afternoon hour out that way. Oh, God, what's Malloy say? If it ain't fleas, it's bed bugs. Squeaky out in Placerville's got sunny and power on since Sunday. Steve, on the other hand, pouring rain here under a flood watch. It's been a rather rainy day here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold Trump, Virginia, Stan, as well. And we've been busy all day long, my life is always, the bottom line is my life is worth a hoot because Agnes is in it. And it's difficult for Agnes to be in it right now because, well, she's helping to take care of the boy. So we're going to be apart from each other, for at least another 5 days. It's rough. It's just rough. But this program always begins with gratitude, and this evening the program begins with gratitude to Rico in DeBerg. Thank you, Rico, for being a partial sponsor of the program and a subscriber, part of the merry band that either by subscription or by a la carte al dente appearances keep the program on the air from month to month to month. Thank you ever so kindly. And tomorrow being the last day of the month, we'll have the thank yous for all of the Patreon subscribers. Thank you. Thank you one and all. Because we've had, we will have had 7 full days of fundraising free radio. Thanks to the subscriber team. Well, that's true. That's true. You know what? I may have to jump back in and do that. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, you know, this is your perfect opportunity to watch some more Breaking Bad, Bob. You know, I mean, who knows? Tomorrow, I may binge a little bit tonight, and I may even get to the end of season three. It may be worth, yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea, Brother Deacon. And it is, of course, the penultimate day of October 2019 falls on a Wednesday, and that, of course, means that it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn, brethren and sistren. We've got all kinds of other news to go into, but we've also, by God, got prayer meeting with which to deal. And the stories that go, you're absolutely right, and the stories that go with prayer meeting. When I said you're absolutely right, I was referring to Steve from Georgia Stan pointing out that Ms. Agnes is a saint. She is that. And the reverberations continue. Steve in New York with a note, Friday on the front porch. I just listened to the Friday on the front porch cat discussion. Steve says, I have to confess, I said out loud myself, it's not about the cat. You know, that may become the tagline of this program. It's not about the cat. Maybe I'll go out and get that I don't have any tattoos. So maybe I should go out and get a tattoo of that. Every now and then, these little things sort of intrude their way into the program and just become part of the overall cultural landscape of the program. I mean, Calliope, Halcon Days, It's Not About the Cat, Titanic Plates. These things just, you know, when you've been at this as long as we have, these things just sort of come unbidden. I don't have time to do all the declining and conjugating. Let's see. That should be fairly simple, though, to make a Latin motto of it. We could have a cat on a shield with two cats rampant at the top and in a Latin scroll underneath. Non est de felinem. Non est de felinem. That ought to be pretty close. It's not about the cat in Latin. God almighty. Hey, but it's prayer meeting Wednesday. And I got to tell you, the deacons knew that they weren't working this evening. It's not very many months we find ourselves with the deacons not working on two straight Wednesdays or two consecutive Wednesdays. I don't know about the deacons' sexuality. But I know that by this time next week, they will probably be so rusty and out of practice that we'll have to have one of those electronic defibrillators on hand as they move amongst the congregation. But they didn't work last week and they didn't work this week. And the little old blue-haired ladies in the fellowship hall kitchen, seeing the rain was coming down, well, they got the iron skillets out and a couple of plates and a couple of bowls and they got some tenderized cube steaks out, and they battered them and deep-fried them and made up that lovely, chunky, you know, with the little crispy bits in it, milk gravy, and there was mashed potatoes and a green salad. Your choice of many, many, many dressings. There was a Jell-O salad with the cottage cheese in it. Don't turn your nose up at that. It's better than you think. And they had a vanilla butter bundt cake with a ribbon of cinnamon sugar throughout the middle of it. They baked several of those, but no matter how many they bake, there's never enough for the deacons. And so the deacons went wild on cube steak and salads and mashed potatoes and gravy. And then they fell on they fell about the bundt cakes, and there wasn't a crumb left. The little old blue-haired ladies do appreciate that, because it cuts down on the scrubbing when it's time for the little old blue-haired men to do the dishes. And then shortly thereafter, having loaded up on sweet tea as well, the deacons trundled their massive bulk up the two flights of stairs and out into the parking lot, where they stood, not in the parking lot, but under the awnings, because it's been raining off and on all day, and it's not one of those soaking pour downs. It's more of a Scots mist, and God knows we need it here in almost level west by Coal Trump Genistan. Not near as bad as they need it, say, in California, but we need it. And they stood there smoking with the sinners. I'm sure some of them went through a rock solid half a pack of Marlboro Reds. Until Sister Carol Baker showed up at the vestibule door with the Cathedral of Common Sense solar-powered cattle prod crackling in the rainy air. It got their attention, and although they did not trundle and they did not get to thunderously galumphing across the parking lot, they did make their way past her and cast a glaring eye toward her. And they made their way through the vestibule, past the desiccating bowl of butter mints that hasn't been touched for years now, found their way down front, and immediately plopped themselves into their seats. And I may have to throw a shoe or two, or squirt them with the squirt bottle if the snoring gets too loud. A couple of them are already busily sawing logs. It's just damn hard to get good deaconing these days. It's like the story of the deacon whose little boy was allowed to sit with him in services one day, and the preacher got to going, and pretty soon the deacon got to going, and he started snoring rather loud enough for the congregation to pick up on it, and the titters and the snickers began, and eventually, the preacher stepped aside and covered up the microphone and said, "Hey, son, wake up your daddy. He's snoring." A little boy in a great big old little boy voice replied, "I know he's snoring, preacher. You wake him up. You put him to sleep." It's an occupational hazard. So here we are, the deacons in their place. No offertory hymn to be put forward, because there's no offering being sought. We are the rare church that sometimes just says, "Hey, no need." But nonetheless, brethren and sistren, I will call upon you, even in the absence of an offertory prayer, to get up off of your seats and get onto your feet and hop. Glory, come on down that blood-red aisle and fall, brethren and sister, and fall upon your knees at the altar and reach out and lay, oh, amen, your hands upon the subwoofer. Glory, hallelujah, and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. For indeed, I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Munificent Mufti, Grand Guru, Bob Kincaid. And this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Brother Usher Steve, with the subject line, "Butter in the Bundt Cake," says, "The little old blue-haired ladies kept giggling when they were making the Bundt Cakes. They told me why. Cannabis-infused butter." Oh, little blue hairs. You know, that might explain why the deacons are already snoring. Oh, I like that too, Brother Usher Steve. I see a bumper sticker, he says, prophesying with, "It's not about the cat," as a motto, with a simple command, listen to the horn at headon.live. Much creativity in this wonderful congregation. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed. And so, Jesus, Jim. Okay, everybody. We're all laughing our asses off about it's not about the cat, but Jim is still offended by it's not about the cat. Go ahead, Bob, with your cat tune. It's a joke, Jim. Lighten up. There's lots of cat people in this community. And everybody was laughing. Okay? Just give it a rest. Scott in San Diego. How can it not be all about the cat? Chirps the cat forced me to send this. A cartoon, a cat sitting by a cup. We'll work for food, then take two bites, and walk away. Oh, they're on the Mushu and Nix are on strike because they're getting dry cat food right now in Agnes's absence. Because opening wet cat food brings me to the point of, you know, regurgitation. Sorry, it's always been that way. They're well fed and well watered. I just, you know, I don't think they would appreciate a Bob-sized hairball there by their dish. But they don't know that because, you know, they're cats. Jim, if you could tell me what you found so damned hurtful about people laughing about something that wasn't about a cat, I might be able to understand, but I don't even understand what it is that's got you so offended. I didn't then, and I don't now, especially in light of the fact that no one out of this entire community was even remotely put off by it. I just don't get it. But anyway, it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and gosh, there is an abundance of weirdness to go into because, again, it's prayer meeting Wednesday. now you're starting, Darlene. Is this a new program? If so, we're still on the cats. it's new, but it's still not a bit, yeah. This being prayer meeting Wednesday, though, this has nothing to do with cats, but it does have to do with that perennial adversary. Yes. Brother Deacon Asa says, "Dude, you ate Sir Stroming. And fucking cat food brings you to your knees? Yes! That's awful. It's awful. By the way, Steve in New York says, "I rescued my cat 8 years ago. He was 5 years old. He has one eye. He was semi-feral on the euthanasia list. I love him more than I can tell. And I thought it was extremely funny." Well, it was, because it was about human nature. But every time I've brought it up, I've gotten a snarky email from Jim. Without the details, without bothering to give me what it is that's so upsetting about it. I'm kind of lost here. But anyway, our first foray into prayer meeting Wednesday, brethren and sister, has not to do with cats, but with the perennial nemesis of cats, namely mice. You might recall that it was a couple of years back or more, who knows, that Alex Jones, known for pontificating over things that exist only in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between his ears and pass for brains while he's hustling his nutraceuticals like his paleo chocolate chicken bone beverage, which when he tried to drink it with the camera running, it almost had him behaving like me opening a can of cat food. Well, a couple of years back, Alex Jones was warning us all about the jellyfish monkey hybrids that could be purchased in the bazaars of Old Kowloon, and which were being snuck into the country here. I don't know. Maybe Barack Obama was going to make them his secret FEMA army. I can't remember all the details. But, well, I guess he was relative until he got busted for sliming the grieving parents from Sandy Hook, and he continues to get his ass handed to him in that regard. He was cruising right along with things like that, and had America's more paranoid denizens eating out of the palm of his hand, and they were mostly eating sugar pills that he sold on his website as various and sundry nutritional supplements. And some of the things that they gobbled right up were stories about, for instance, monkey jellyfish hybrids from the dark black market laboratories of Old Kowloon. If something like that is successful, you can bet that other people will try to get their hooks in it. And so it is that we find ourselves beginning prayer meeting Wednesday with none other than the Pope of Pentecostalism, former liquor supply officer Marion Pat Robertson. Who got himself worked up into a white, and I do mean white, hot frenzy on his 700 club last Tuesday. Let's check in with the audio. You might want to get the hockey puck.
Thank you, Jennifer. Pat, I'm sure a lot of people will be shocked when they learn about these experiments.
Well, they're no more shocked than I am. Ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine our government funding a human mouse experiment?
A human mouse experiment. A human mouse.
Hey, Goofy!
Mm-hmm. Because the little newscaster dude had just reported about a study. And the study had to do with researchers who were working with mice and fetal reproductive tract tissue. It was a real, live, serious piece of science. Human female fetal reproductive tracts, 9.5 to 22 weeks of gestation, were grown for 1 month in ovariectomized athemic adult female mouse hosts that were either untreated or treated continuously with diethylstilbestrol via subcutaneous pellet. Normal morphogenesis and normal patterns of differentiation marker expression were observed in xenografts grown in untreated hosts and mimicked observations of previously reported non-grafted specimens of comparable age. Now, even though that's sciencey kind of language, well, it's sort of borne out in the title of the paper. Response of xenografts of developing human female reproductive tracts to the synthetic estrogen diethylstilbestrol. Okay? This is, in other words, research not to create a human mouse, but to provide ongoing research into efforts to solve gynecologic reproductive tract problems in real live human females. In other words, good moral work aimed at alleviating the suffering of human women folk. But it involves some fetal tissue, so therefore, the former liquor supply officer, Marion Robertson, who has an audience of numbskulls and you know, generalized idiots, well, he sees an opportunity to cash in. Reminiscent, perhaps, of a certain insurance company's ad of late, geared toward, of course, Halloween. You may have seen it by now. The script goes something like, it's two girls, they're roommates in an apartment, and they're sitting on one sitting on a couch, another one sitting in a chair. And the dialogue goes like something like, well, we were looking for a third roommate, and I wanted somebody who could cook, but she wanted somebody who could, who liked cats. So we found Griswolda. Well, Griswolda is standing over at the stove, and she's stirring some cauldron because Griswolda is pretty obviously a classic Halloween sort of witch. And she comes over to one of the two roommate girls and feeds her a taste of whatever it is she's cooking, and she says, it's almost done now. And the girl begins to morph into a cat. And the other roommate on the other couch begins to play with her with like a toy mouse on a string on a stick. It's funny, I guess. Because the girl is turning, well, the one roommate is obviously turning into a cat. And it's cute enough, I guess. But Marion Robertson lives in a world, what Carl Sagan referred to, universe rest his soul, he lives in a demon-haunted world. because he's a science-rejecting evangelical Christian. And this really is a classic case of how you can take an innocuous story about some rather fascinating medical research and turn it into something nefarious. So the little dude at the news desk, Bill in the Weather Center or whatever, does the reader about the medical research, and they have to have a conniption because it involves fetal tissue. Because in science, sometimes that's the only way you can do the work. You can't really do it with full-grown human female reproductive tract tissue, because it would be kind of unethical to go in and, offer some poor woman in maybe a developing world country a certain amount of money if you can carve her open and take out her vagina and cervix and uterus and fallopian tubes and ovaries and whatnot. But on the other hand, you've got tissue that would otherwise just go into the incinerator. So there's an opportunity to do some science. But oh no, not for Marion. No, there's going to be a horde of liberal mouse people. Human mice. Scurrying all over the country and probably voting Democrat.
Shocked than I am. Ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine our government funding a human mouse experiment, baby parts, aborted, $120 million being spent with your money. I mean, this is monstrous. This is something out of the nightmare. I mean, even...
Yeah, it'd be a real nightmare if we actually developed a transplant procedure. See, this is how fucking stupid Christians are. This is how goddamned medieval, dark ages, dumb, evangelical Christians are. This is the mindset that took the glories that was Rome and all of their technological advancements and flushed it down the toilet in favor of a magic fucking cracker. Jesus, these people. It'd be, yeah, because it'd be a real tragedy if, say, a woman of childbearing years who desperately wanted to have children but had been struck by cervical cancer and had to have a hysterectomy. It'd be a real tragedy, Pat Francis Marion. Be a real tragedy if doctors were able to transplant a healthy, functioning reproductive system into her body so that she could fulfill her dream of being a mother. Oh my God, that would be awful. Oh, wait a minute. Early cowbell for James in Illinois. The eek will inherit the earth. Yes, that was well worth it. But this is the way these evangelical Christians are. On the one hand, they will have an absolute conniption over the precious little fetuses. While not so much giving much of a fuck about real, suffering, human, adult females. It was all Eve's fault after all now, wasn't it? And then there's that there Jezebel. And that whore that Jesus ran around with.
Hitler didn't do anything as bad as this. This is...
We got to back up for that. Again, remember, we're talking about life-saving research for women.
I mean, this is monstrous. This is something out of a nightmare. I mean, even Adolf Hitler didn't do anything as bad as this. This is...
Yeah, Hitler didn't do anything as bad as trying to save the lives of real, live, adult, human women. Hitler didn't do anything as bad as that. I mean, granted, Hitler sent several million women and female children to the ovens, but he didn't do something as heinous as trying to save their lives after being diagnosed with cancer, for Jesus' sakes. Pat Robertson is why. Well, he's one of those who's why. We can't have nice things. Like a world without cervical cancer or uterine cancer. Right.
Oh. Even having had that vote come from the White House against it, yeah. It still exists. It's like something that will not lay down and die.
It's just an absolute nightmare, ladies and gentlemen. And you can write your congressman and say, look, I just don't think, as the United States government, we shouldn't be spending taxpayer money. It isn't just that they're encouraging late-term abortions and paying doctors for baby parts, but that they're marrying, trying to make a mouse human, a human mouse.
I mean, a human moose, Bullwinkle. Fuck me, a moose. A moose! They're trying to make a human moose! He knows. This nonagenarian fraud, this gospel grifter is fully college educated, and he knows goddamn good and well what this research is about. But the rubes that he's depended on all his life don't. And so now he's raised the blood pressure of Emery and Marvelline down in Busted Knuckle in the trailer court, sitting there in their matching Barca loungers.
Hey, Marvelline, I don't think they make a mousetrap that big, do they, Marvelline?
Oh, Emery. I'm afraid. Whatever shall we do when those hordes of liberal Democrat mousesses come and take away our abode, our castle, the center of our happy life together? Oh, Emery, mouses will eat anything. Oh, I hate these Mises to pieces.
This is another one of those moments where you really wish that the burning hell that these people believe in was real. Because you would hope. There's that dangerous word, second most, apparent. I've decided that hope is the second most dangerous word in the English language, right behind believe. But you'd like to hope that people who deliberately prey upon the fears and ignorance and paranoia of the poorly educated, that there's some layer of hell, I don't know, like 421, layer 6.421 in Dante's Inferno, where Pat Robertson spends all eternity being roasted over a spit by a demon, I don't know, dressed like a mouse woman.
Minnie.
You know, that was one of the most successful relationships in old Hollywood. The marriage of Mickey and Minnie Mouse. Lasted for a long time, but, well, it's hard to keep a marriage going in a sinful Babylon like Hollywood. Hollyweird. And so it was that Mickey and Minnie found themselves before a judge in divorce court at one point. And the judge, going over the pleadings, looked at Mickey and said, well, Mr. Mouse, I see by your complaint here, your petition for divorce, that you allege that that your wife has been having an extramarital affair, committing adultery. And Mickey, not being the brightest of mice, says,
What, Your Honor?
Well, it says here. No, it says here that you think that she's. There's another count. It says you think that she is non compos mentis.
I don't understand, Your Honor.
Well, no, that Mr. Mouse, that means that you think that Minnie is insane. At which point Mickey perked up and said,
"Oh no, Your Honor, I said she's fucking goofy."
I screwed that up. It's been a while since I told it. My apologies. Hordes of mouse people wandering the land. Their development funded on some sort of twisted island of Dr. Moreau by federal taxpayer dollars. Note to Pat Robertson, this comes from Scott in San Diego. Hey, stupid! Your own Bible commands be fruitful and multiply. Any scientific research that advances a result that supports that fruitfulness and multiplication is in harmony with the keeping of that commandment. P.S. You're too heavenly-minded to be any earthly good. Kindly roll over and die. We're eager for you to receive your reward. Hint, pack asbestos underwear, pal. Little jingle for that, yeah. I mean, the reverse pineapple is reserved for people like Jerry Falwell and Hitler. I don't know, maybe they got a few extra pineapples down in perdition. But that's how these abortion-obsessed freaks roll. And without going into too much detail, this bunch of anti-constitutional, un-American turds has been on my mind of late. Because, as I mentioned recently, our youngest daughter just had her heart shattered into a million tiny pieces. Because the 27-week fetus that she was carrying, our little grandson, for reasons of simple human biology, died inside her. She knew by virtue of being our daughter, she knew that she had a choice and that the choice was hers alone to exercise. But she wanted that baby. She wanted him so badly. And her heart is still aching. Because over the course of those 27 weeks, she began to love the baby growing within her. Only to have, I guess, if you ask these Christians, only to have their loving God kill him. Because he's a god of love. But it did cause me to ponder a little bit more about the real-world activities of these monstrous creatures who walk among us and attack a constitutional right that they have no right to attack in the first place. See, one of their favorite tactics of late for attacking a woman's right to choose is to tell credulous people who have no medical background whatsoever and no knowledge of science at all that a fetus of 20 weeks feels pain. And they do that for the sole sleazy reason of exercising political power over the rest of the women in the United States of America. To keep them from having the choice that the Supreme Court has declared the Constitution affords them. Missouri, for instance, may soon become the first state in the Union without a single reproductive health care clinic. That means that it becomes highly probable that there will be women in Missouri who die. Real flesh and blood American citizens who die for want of access to badly needed reproductive care. And they will kill those women, these pro-life people, these Christians. They will send these women to dusky death in the name of their loving God. In the name of a murdered Palestinian rabbi who never had two shekels to rub together and didn't say a thing about women's reproductive rights. Hell, he didn't even get married, and that was weird enough for a 30-year-old Jewish guy in the first century of the Common Era. But these 20-week abortion bans that are all the rage among these loving Christians. Again, is nothing but an exercise in will to power. And they are willing to torment not only women who seek reproductive health care, but women like my daughter, who sit heartbroken, and whom these freaks, these Christo-fascist goons, well, they're never going to look at her and say, hey, honey, no, really. Your baby didn't feel any pain when it died. That's just shtick that we do to try to get political power because politics and power are more important to us than anything Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate rabbi, ever said. It's just a gig, baby. I mean, it's billions of dollars a year that we get out of people's pockets for hollering about how a 20-week fetus feels pain. Everybody knows that's not fucking true. Don't pay any mind. No, these gory fucks would gladly torment my child, who is grieving enough for her entire life right now. Even though she never did anything to deserve their vicious, filthy hatreds. I despise them. I do. If something that could come along that would remove the anti-choice people from our midst, if they could go and live on an island with the anti-vaxxers and no human, you know, like maybe one of those little islands off of India or something, where, and I'm not talking about the ones with the people that haven't had contact with people on it. No, no. Just an island with nothing alive on it except for them. Sure, fresh water, lots of coconuts, cool. Let the anti-choice people and the anti-vaxxers go live there together. Trust me, they won't be a problem on planet Earth for very long, because between the diseases and the overpopulation, it'll make what happened on Rapa Nui look like a population explosion. Because, see, our body politic is not in any way made better. Our country is not enriched. Our moral discussion is not elevated by the existence of people like Brat Kavanaugh and goons like Pat Robertson. I trust most of us have seen Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life, where the character that Jimmy Stewart plays, in a fit of despair, commits suicide, only to be rescued by Clarence, the apprentice angel, who goes on to show Jimmy Stewart how wrong he was when he said it would have been better had he never been born. Showing him all the things that went wrong because he wasn't there to make them right. Well, the thing is, you could make It's a Wonderful Life about Marion Robertson. And if Clarence the Apprentice Angel hauled him out of that frozen river and walked him back into town, town would be paradise. There'd be cotton candy and Ferris wheels and calliopes playing music all around. Families, happy families, smiling, laughing, who, while he was alive, were made miserable, fearful, and angry by virtue of the filth that he pumped in to our body politic. You could do the same with Matt Staver of Liberty Council. Had he never been born, Davis wouldn't have had a lawyer, and gay people would not have been tormented in Round County, Kentucky. It's the reverse of It's a Wonderful Life. I'm disgusted with anyone who is fetus obsessed, because
I know, by virtue of the fact that they will lie about a 20-week fetus feeling pain, that they don't give a good goddamn about any woman who has ever had to bear a child and deal with that fetus's demise within her. Because trust me when I say that it is no solace to say,
well, he just went back to be with Jesus.
It's not cold comfort. It is no comfort at all. And the idea that some loving, bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky would reach down and touch a baby in the womb and say, nope, not you, bub. Fuck that God. I mean, you really can't because he doesn't exist. Fuck the God that would put Donald J. Trump on planet Earth. That's not a God, that's a devil. Which leads me to the following as we approach the top of the hour. And we have to go to Missouri, previously mentioned. For this story. Oh, that's right. Yeah, James says you need to watch it again, Bob. It was Clarence who faked a suicide because he knew the Jimmy Stewart character would rescue him. Yeah, but James, Jimmy Stewart was standing on the bridge contemplating suicide because he'd already thought that his life would be better, that the world would have been better off had he never lived. But yeah, Missouri. Missouri has a Department of Health and Senior Services. And that Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services has a director. And his name is Dr. Randall Williams. He was put in place, he was appointed to his position by Republicans, you know, fetus fetishists. And he testified at an administrative commission hearing yesterday. You can read all about it in the Kansas City Star. It's disgusting. Dr. Randall Williams, who should not be allowed to be a doctor ever again, and he's, you know, he's an MD kind of doctor, well, Dr. Randall Williams testified that he has been surveilling women's menstrual cycles. You remember when the campaign took place to send women's menstrual products to Mike Pencilneck Geek? This is back when he was governor of Tallahassee, before he became the criminal vice president of the United States. and people said that, you know, Republicans famously are in favor of small government. A government so small that it can fit inside a woman's womb. Well, Dr. Randall Taylor has confirmed that with no irony whatsoever. Not Taylor, Dr. Randall Williams confessed that he kept a spreadsheet. No shit. He kept a spreadsheet to track the menstrual periods of women who visited Planned Parenthood. And it wasn't something that just happened by accident. Dr. Williams said that he directed the state's main inspector to track the women so he might identify patients who had undergone failed abortions. He came to testify because the state of Missouri is deciding whether Planned Parenthood can continue to be licensed to perform abortions in that godforsaken nightmare state. He claimed that he started spying on Planned Parenthood. I mean, if Donald Trump can describe an investigation into his criminality as spying, then we can damn sure call this spying. In the words of the Kansas City Star, he testified that the investigation of Planned Parenthood began after state inspectors found evidence of a failed abortion that didn't have a corresponding complication report logged with the state. Where's the state's rational interest in that? A spreadsheet to track women's menstrual cycles. And it was granular. The inquisitor got hold of medical records during the state's annual inspection and got medical identification numbers, dates of medical procedures, gestational ages of the fetuses, and the date of the last menstrual period of each patient as calculated by the health department. The only thing that Dr. Williams claims he didn't get, and whether you believe this or not is entirely up to you, is the woman's actual name. The minority leader of the Missouri House of Representatives has demanded of Governor Mike Parson, who, of course, is a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexual, woman-hating, Republican Christian, to immediately investigate whether Dr. Williams violated patient privacy. Representative Crystal Quaid, a Democrat of Springfield, the aforementioned minority leader, said state law requires the health department director to be of recognized character and integrity. This unsettling behavior calls into question whether Dr. Williams meets that high standard. You should see a photo of this dude. He's got a mouth like a surgical incision. And a sort of bowl-over-the-head haircut. and a bow tie. Wears his glasses like a necklace around his neck. And looks creepy enough that if he was in a park and I was there with my grandchildren, I would call my grandchildren to him, to me, the minute that I set eyes on him. He looks like he's making a woman suit in his basement. He's a real sick freak. He was part of a state policy in Missouri earlier this year requiring physicians to perform a pelvic exam 3 days before a woman could receive a surgical abortion. Well, I mean, that just makes sense, Bob. I mean, you'd want one of those right before you do something like that so you don't get into anything you don't know that might not... Yeah, see, the doctor performs a pelvic immediately before the procedure anyway. So Dr. Williams, who is fascinated with women's reproductive systems and not in a good way, not like those researchers who are trying to figure out a way to restore fertility to women who have been rendered infertile by disease. Yeah, he's really, really interested in women's reproductive organs. So he wanted him to have an extra pelvic. And while I, by virtue of my chromosomal makeup, have never had nor never will have one of those, I will rely on the expertise of the women in my family to tell me that it's not exactly something that you go out and do on a lark, that it's not particularly fun, that the word speculum is enough to send chills down most any woman's spine. Well, very close, yes, only older and creepier, Brother Deacon. Brother Deacon Asa says, it sounds like Dr. Williams looks like Tucker Carlson from what you described, Bob. Older and creepier, if you can imagine. But don't worry, Governor Parsons, no irony there, won't investigate. Nah. They'll celebrate and maybe pass some magic crackers around and a little swig of Welch's grape juice. And praise Jesus for, I don't know, making that doctor do an unsuccessful abortion or some such. And yes, in case you were wondering, Dr. Williams is an OBGYN. And he came to Missouri having tormented women in state government, in the health department of North Carolina. And he admitted in front of God and everybody, well, I mean, in front of everybody, God's not real. He said, well, I'm pro-life. Sure you are, bub. Sure you are. Yamelcy Rodriguez, CEO of Reproductive Health Services of Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region, said, it shadows the Trump administration's history of tracking the periods of refugee girls under the government's care. This is outrageous and disgusting. It is both of those. Meanwhile, Dr. Williams said, a false narrative has been propagated that investigating Planned Parenthood was a top-down initiative. Nah, it was a bottoms-up initiative, Doc. You fucking pervert. You sick creep. wonder if there are any women in Dr. Williams' life. Wonder if he'd like to have done to them what he ordered be done to other women. Wonder how he'd like it if some big Republican government was standing... ma'am, have you had your period yet? Okay, you missed it? Okay, good. You'll have to go into protective custody because if you have a fetus inside you, that fetus is more important than you. And be careful how you walk. I mean, and be careful what you do because, remember, that fetus is more important than you now, lady. And we'd hate it if anything happened to it because then we'd have to burn you at the fucking stake because we're medieval. What's that, Ron, in the far frozen north? Tell him that there's an old hillbilly up here in the frozen north that's rooting for him. And, oh, nope, sorry. Yeah, I missed that one. That's, yeah. About on another topic. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. Brother Deacon Asa says, oh, I just looked him up. He looks as if Alfred E. Newman and Alexander Boris de Pfeffel Johnson had a love child. Yeah, I mean, just looking at him makes me just, I mean, I'm sorry, I do. I just hear. Darlene said, LOL, mouth like a surgical incision. He must be a Republican then. Pretty much. Charlie, down in Tennistan. Subject line, Christians. If a child dies before it's born, how do we know that God had any part in this event? Some things just happen. Why do the Christians say that their God had anything to do with unfortunate events? The God that I'm aware of does not ride around on clouds throwing lightning bolts. Some things happen, and no one is guilty of anything. Well, it's like Howard Jones sang back in the 80s, no one ever is to blame. But that's the thing, Charlie. Let's say if Dr. Ben Carson goes in and performs heart surgery on an in utero infant and the baby is born alive and grows to a healthy childhood and whatnot, then God influenced, God reached down and through the agency of Dr. Ben Carson touched that precious little fetus's life. But the Christians won't hear the converse of that, namely that their loving God reaches down and kills babies before they can ever be born. If one is true, the other has to be true. Kyle was right on top of it. Kyle in Kentucky stand. The Trump regime is tracking menstrual cycles of immigrant women. Missouri's tracking menstrual cycles of women in their state. They're making it legal to kill immigrants for being immigrants while wanting to build a wall to keep them out. PWD, POC, LGBTQ, non-Christian, non-white, non-males are being shunned from society, and those in power are making policy to make it so. Somebody please tell me how 2019 America is not the same as 1930s Germany. Well, we don't have Hugo Boss-designed uniforms, for starters, Kyle. Regarding spying on Missouri women's menstrual cycles, Scott in San Diego says, maybe it's just me, Bob, but I don't think so. Not so very long ago, the patron saint of the GOP repeatedly insisted the following.
Well, the most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
Now, almost 40 years later, we've got ourselves a badly flipped situation. What we have here is a situation in which twisted theology-assisted individuals are literally up in women's most personal business. Ideally, it's probably best that the government take a hands-off approach when it comes to most aspects of daily life, but there comes a time when the government is required to act as a rational referee and watchdog against those misguided forces that make The Handmaid's Tale look like far-out fiction come to frightening and horrific life. Missouri didn't used to be like that. I lived there during most of the 1980s, so I know this. It's well past time to hit the goddamn brakes and make a long overdue course correction. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I was 2 years in Missouri, 2.5 years. And it was a pretty nice place. But that's before the Christians took theocratic control of the state with their amanuensis, the Republican Party. Yeah, well, right. That's the bullshit dichotomy. Randy in PA says, but as everyone knows, if the child dies in stillbirth, it was the devil that made that happen. And as everyone knows, the devil is more powerful than God. Whoops. Yeah, Ron in the far frozen north says, Dr. Randall Williams looks like the prototype of what happens to incels when they get old. I've seen that look. One of the counties where I lived, we had a doctor that was just beloved of the entire community. Oh, they adored him. Until it turned out that for the last 20 or 30 years, he'd been diddling little girls. And even after the proof was all said and done, there were still people who said, well, it really wasn't fair. And then it turned out that he had spent years and years and years. Every summer he'd take his vacation 4 or 6 weeks and go and be a doctor on an Indian reservation somewhere out west. You can probably guess why. Prayer meeting is without a doubt, as often as not, the most disgusting broadcast night of the week. Not because of me, but because of the subject matter. Because it seems that for whatever good the so-called good Christians do in this country, the evangelicals are there to do 1,000 times worse. And to do so with a smile on their faces. Witness what happened in the last couple of days in South Carolina, Stan. Now, Uncle Joe Biden is getting his ass whipped, more or less, in the polls leading up to the primary season. He's like third or fourth place in Iowa, third place in New Hampshire, not doing real good in Nevada. But by God, you can't turn the TV on without hearing some multimillionaire from the for-profit media declaring that South Carolina is going to be Joe Biden's firewall because, well, Joe Biden is strong, strong, I tell you, strong with the African-American community in South Carolina. And that's probably true. It's as true as it was true of Hillary Clinton in South Carolina in 2016. Bernie was setting the world on fire till he got to South Carolina and got his ass handed to him. And don't give me any shit about fucking Debbie Wasserman Schultz, goddamn DNC. No, that was just the South Carolina primary. I knew people on the ground there. He had a terrible organization, and he got beat. Because the Democrats in South Carolina knew Hillary Clinton far better than they knew Bernie Sanders. And some have said that, and I'm not speaking for anybody in this, some have said that you know, that it's a matter of the devil you know when it comes to the African-American community. Because the African-American community makes up the vibrant core, the beating heart of the Democratic Party in South Carolina. They're not going to deliver South Carolina's electoral votes for a Democrat. South Carolina should probably not be allowed to be one of the primary states that determines the viability of a candidate. But it's how the game is rigged, set up. My personal feeling is that no state should be a primary focus of the primary process unless that state has some sort of history of voting for Democrats, for president. I mean, it would make more sense for West Virginia to have its primary on the date that South Carolina does. At least we've sent Democrats we've sent our electoral votes for Democrats in presidential elections. We've got a history of it. Clinton twice. Carter. Shit, we may have given our electoral votes to Carter in 1980, if I recall correctly. I may not recall correctly. But we have given our electoral votes to Democratic presidential candidates. We went to pieces in 2000 and 2004 and 2008 and 2012 and 2016. But even with all of those, it's a much shorter list than South Carolina. So Joe Biden's down there swanning around South Carolina on the hustings, kissing babies and shaking hands and shaking babies and kissing hands. And so I guess as a show of some sort of piety, old Joe dropped by one of the local gospel sharp houses, him being a Roman Catholic and all, and wanted to check in with the Almighty and eat the magic cracker and drink the wondrous wine, eat the body and drink the blood of Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life. Yeah, no. Wasn't going to happen. Enter what Henry II of England is said to have once referred to as a meddlesome priest. Uncle Joe wanted to have himself some Eucharist. I never understood why people wanted to play euchre in a church, but, oh well. Oh, I'm sorry. I was raised Protestant. I don't know about any of that magic shit. Well, I was raised Southern Baptist, and we were always told it was symbolic. Maybe it's changed now. Maybe it really is the body and blood of Christ, according to the Southern Baptists. But it was Sunday when he dropped by a South Carolina Roman Catholic church, St. Anthony Catholic Church in Florence, South Carolina, to be precise, not far from the homes of some dear friends of long standing here, the Horn Family Community Congregation, where Father Robert Morey, whom I probably would not want around my grandchildren, said that, and he was proud of it, He was proud of it. He said that he had told Joe Biden that he could not eat the magic cracker or drink the wondrous wine. The juju juice. And he said, any public figure who advocates for abortion places himself or herself outside of church teaching. Fuck church teaching! Church teaching isn't in the fucking Bible! Church teaching is precisely that. What it precisely isn't is gospel.
As a priest, it is my responsibility to minister to those souls entrusted to my care, and I must do so even in the most difficult situations. I will keep Mr. Biden in my prayers.
But see, under the magic theory of the Roman Catholic Church, since Father Maury denied the magic cracker and the juju juice to Joe Biden, if Joe Biden had, say, God forbid, dropped dead, he would have dropped dead unshriven, which means that, according to church teaching, Uncle Joe would have had to go and be tormented for the sins that he went unforgiven to the grave with. That's what Father Robert Maury, did. God damn. Too many Father Maurys. Too few fucking lions.
I will keep Mr. Biden in my prayers.
How are you going to pray for him, Padre? You gonna pray for him to, I don't know, get the leprosy and see the light? Are you going to pray that some other member of your order doesn't decide to fuck one of his grandchildren? How are you going to pray for him, Father?
Holy Communion signifies we are one with God, each other, and the church. Our actions should reflect that.
Maybe Father Maury shouldn't be delving into that shit. Maybe he should stand there and hand out the goddamn cracker and the little swig of Mogan David and then move on to the next supplicant. Maybe Father Maury ought to have a care for his church's 501c3 tax-exempt status and tread lightly where it comes to politicking in the pulpit. Or politicking with the religious writs in his hand. Asked to comment on it himself, Uncle Joe said, I'm not going to discuss that. That's just my personal life. So, because it's his personal life, he's going to remain silent instead of standing up for the Constitution of the United States of America that says there shall be no religious test for holding office when Father Robert Maury just imposed one on him. St. Anthony Catholic Church of Florence, South Carolina, should have its 501c3 ripped and have its buildings and its holdings subjected to taxation by the Internal Revenue Service and its status as a welfare queen on the body politic and the commons that you and I pay for removed. You want to play politics? Pay up, motherfucker. This is disgusting. And these goddamn black-robed clerics flapping around like a murder of crows have been at this for a while, and they have never, not once, paid a price for shitting all over the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America. In 2004, it was Cardinal Raymond Burke who wouldn't give communion to John Kerry and declared that Kerry was unworthy of communion. In 2008, Bishop Joseph Francis Martino of Scranton, Pennsylvania, said he wouldn't let Uncle Joe have the righteous writs. And then in 2016, when Hillary named the utterly forgettable Tim Kaine as her running mate, a bunch of priests came forward and said that, well, you know, he wants to let the queers marry, and he wants gender equality, and he thinks women should be in control of their own women parts instead of the Pope at Rome. So he can't have a cracker. God, do you see how silly all of this is? I mean, really, Uncle Joe, do you really, really, really believe that eating a cracker and taking a swig of cheap wine is going to keep your loving God from tormenting you for all eternity because he loves you so much? Really, Joe, do you buy that? I mean, come on over, Joe. We're faithless, baby. And you know what faithless means? It means we're free. We have freedom and cookies. We don't worry about hell because there isn't one, except for the hell that people make for themselves and others right here, right now, on planet Earth. And we know that heaven is ours for the making, too. And we know that the universe is huge, bigger than the human mind can comprehend, bigger than God. Because the human mind invented God, that means the human mind can comprehend God. The universe is too big to comprehend. And so we understand how absolutely silly it is to think that there's an almighty creator of the universe who spends even any time at all thinking about us little piss ants down here. Joe, come on over. You get stronger. You get freer when you realize we're on our own, baby. And sitting around waiting for some pie in the sky when you die is a fool's errand. That's not to say there's no such thing as spirituality. Some of those spiritual people I know have rejected the mummery and claptrap of religion. Wait, says Ron in Raleigh, you're confused. What? Is that religious writs or religious writs? Meaning W-R-I-T-S or R-I-T-Z. No, in this case, it's most definitely putting on the writs. If you go to... Yeah. Eating up the writs! I recently made some homemade pimento cheese that I mean to tell you is fan-freaking-tastic on a Ritz. I mean, I'm supposed to give money to an institution that won't even give me fucking pimento cheese on the cracker? Fuck that. You're confusing me, Bob, says Scott in San Diego. All this talk of holy crackers and now righteous Ritz, or is it righteous Ritz? See, the great minds of the Horn Family Community Congregation, there sits Scott in San Diego, about as far away from Raleigh, North Carolina, as you can be, get and still be on the same continent, and they're both asking the same question. Well, maybe there is a God. Nope, there's not. Sorry. Scott in San Diego continues, St. Andrew of Griffith always used to tell us, it's always better if it sits on a Ritz. Good cracker. Good cracker. Help my unbelief, Bob. Sorry. I'm no help at all. By the way, Randy in PA says, Welch's Grape Corporation says that they're headquartered in Concord, Massachusetts. But there, near my hometown, they are barely noticeable. Well, that juicer juices best who juices least. Yeah, exactly. There was Randy pointing out. There was a great George Carlin clip about God and how he's invisible and has 10 things that he doesn't want you to do. And if you do any of those 10 things, he will cast you forever into a lake of fire and brimstone because he loves you. Yeah, religion really can't withstand a hell of a lot of scrutiny. Brother Deacon Asa says, it's fundraising free prayer meeting Wednesday, friend. Why are you singing? Well, sometimes it's just in you in the moment. It's in you and it's in the moment and it can't be avoided. Eating up the Ritz! Wear a day coat, pants with stripes, and perfect fits. Mm-hmm. Ron in Raleigh says, well, what that is, that San Diego to Raleigh connection, that's called quantum entanglement. Well, doggies, how's about that? Sports fans. Oh, but we're far from done. Indeed we are. Oh, and by the way, the bishop for Father Robert Morey in New York suit papers, the bishop for the South Carolina diocese has been named as somebody who had a predilection for fucking little boys. Oh, well. Oh, Randy and PA's working on the lyric. Stepping just like a Nazi trooper. Super trooper. Super duper. If you can't tell, my favorite version of Putting on the Ritz is the Young Frankenstein version. Man About Town. Subject line, Father Knows Nothing. Bob, I attended, Clarence says, Bob, I attended first to fifth grade in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. It was a drag, to say the least. I was turned off and not interested in religion at an early age. I did not get all the kneeling, praying, and Latin mumbo-jumbo. To this day, I'm not a follower of any so-called religion. Well, you know what? There's nothing quite like religion to make children reject religion. It's one of those things that they haven't figured out since the age of reason struck. For all his faults, there's a reason that people like Jefferson and Adams and Washington and Franklin, and most of those Enlightenment-driven folks called themselves deists. They were not particularly excited to participate in formal Christian religion. Adams said that, paraphrasing, that life would be ever so much better without it. He was particularly anti-Catholic, but he wasn't particularly enamored of the Anglican Church either. And so as a deist, he said, well, there's probably something out there. I don't know. But we're probably not going to access its power by eating crackers and drinking wine and saying magic spells. Far away, across the field, the tolling of the iron bell calls the faithful to their knees to hear the softly spoken magic spell. But we forgot that real quick. By the time that Jefferson and Adams are dying, you've got a genocidal maniac like Andrew Jackson storming around, and when he got excited or upset, he'd yell, "By the Eternal!" Yeah. Then came the Great Dumbing Down, known in history as the Great Awakening. A Christian minister, Presbyterian, had a woman named Anne Royal thrown down a set of stairs, an old lady, because she wrote about what a bunch of bullshit artists they were back in the 1830s. Randy in PA says, I thought of once going into a Universalist church, but I feared they'd be too ditzy New Agey. They're not. The thing I like about the Unitarians is that they'll accept anybody. Whether you believe in one or another, Jesus or Buddha, whatever, they are Unitarian. They think everything is one. And if you don't believe in anything at all, that's okay with them, too. It's like the old joke. How do the Christians drive the Unitarians out of the neighborhood? They burn a question mark in their yard? Yes, magic spells. Scott in San Diego says, 2, 4, 6, 8, time to transubstantiate. And it's amazing. You know, civilizations have risen and fallen on these tiny little minute bits of religious bullshit. The Roman Catholic Church was happy to let Constantinople be overrun by the Muslims because the Byzantines wouldn't agree that the Pope at Rome was the boss. And then there's the Arian heresy. Look it up sometime. It'll make your head spin. Blood ran like rivers over that. Oh, well, poor Uncle Joe. He'll live out the rest of his days in fear of his loving invisible friend. And that's just, well, sad. But you know how we began the program talking about Marion Robertson, the former liquor supply officer, working Alex Jones's corner? They all do it because it's all a hustle. So no sooner had that Roman Catholic priest denied communion to Uncle Joe, then Franklin Graham, who thinks that Roman Catholics are Mary-worshipping idolaters and that the Pope at Rome is probably the Antichrist or at least his third cousin. Well, Franklin Graham was thrilled, tickled pinker. And he had to jump out and get some of the hustle because that's a good dollar. It's a big dollar. And he said, Father Robert Morey of St. Anthony Catholic Church confirmed Monday afternoon that he had denied the presidential candidate Holy Communion because of his stance on abortion. Right? Well, enter Franklin. He goes on Facebook yesterday and says, Democratic presidential hopeful Joe Biden was denied communion by a priest in South Carolina over the weekend. He didn't put in Mary-worshipping priest, but that's how he thinks. But because of his pro-abortion stance, it's not even pro-abortion. It is simply letting women make their own decisions instead of depending on the Father Morey's and the Franklin Graham's and the Pat Robertson's of the world to make it for them, because women are fully functioning human beings with complete agency. They're not the property that they are in the fucking Bible. Because of his pro-abortion stance, I applaud the fact that this priest did what he thought was right at the risk of possible public or political ire. Oh, please. Father Morey is not going to, it's not like a lion's going to show up on his fucking doorstep of his parsonage or vicarage or whatever the fuck they have and have him for a snack some morning when he goes out trolling for little boys. But even in Franklin Graham's Southern Baptist universe, they do still do the crap. Now they won't give you no wine. No. It is doctrine in the Southern Baptist Church that what it says in the Bible, and it's translated as wine, what that really means is grape juice, because Jesus didn't drink. No shit, they believe that. And so Franklin Graham said, I wish more churches, pastors, and priests would take a strong stand against abortion.
Which ones aren't?
Sometimes the role of addressing hard truths has been set aside in the church today in an attempt to accommodate culture, demonstrate tolerance, or even abide by political correctness. No matter how society paints the lie, abortion is murder in the eyes of God, our Creator and Lord, who has never been heard to utter a fucking word on the topic, but instead we do all his talking for him because it's a big dollar.
Oh, I added that last part. Now, here's the problem with Franklin Graham and Robert Morey. I dare say that there are lots of women who come to his church who probably let their husbands use one of those little latex thingies on their John Thomas, or who take Satan's little medicine to keep from getting pregnant, or might have one of those IUD thingies. You know, it's just like an IED, only it's up inside a woman. And if a little fertilized egg comes down, it goes, boom, little tiny explosion, blows the egg up. Yeah, it's gynecological terrorism is what it is. But Father Morey was silent on whether or not he would deny them communion, too. Proving that, in fact, he was engaging in politics, not religion, and should never be allowed near a tax exemption again for the rest of his misbegotten life. Oh, I love when things I do resonate. Note coming in from Lady B. Dude, I sang that right along with you. Time. Home, home again. I like to be here when I can. Floyd fan forever. I don't know how most people are, but I do. I prefer Dark Side of the Moon to The Wall. I think it's just a better overall production. Wish You Were Here is good too. It's all good, but Dark Side of the Moon. I mean, hey, this is a geezer question. Do millennials even know about Dark Side of the Moon? I don't know. I'm just thinking, what a shame if they don't. Trey says it's called The Rectory. Why am I not surprised? It's a parsonage in Protestant lingo. Yeah, as Trey notes, keep in mind that the Catholic Church is running the largest child sex trafficking ring on this planet right now. As Colin says, no shit. Catholic churches should all be closed for repairs. Yeah, we'll reopen when the second coming happens. Till then, you're on your own. of course, since we just heard from Trey, it reminds me, the governor of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, Stan, is a creepy freak by the name of Matt Bevin. Now, you may recall that Matt Bevin has confessed that back when his kids were little, he deliberately subjected them to catching an infectious disease. When he found out his neighbors down the road's children had chickenpox, he carried his own children down there and made sure they wallered all over the sick kids so that they'd get sick too, because he's a loving Christian parent. If a poor person had done that, the Kentucky Department of Children's Services or Child Protective Services or whatever they call it would have come in and taken those children out of the home, and the non-wealthy parents would have had to beg and plead and scrape and kowtow and promise to never do anything again and be made to jump through flaming barbed wire hoops to prove to the Commonwealth that they were fit to be parents. But Matt Bevin was wealthy and white, so naturally nothing happened to Matt Bevin. Matt Bevin is also one of, if not the absolute least popular governor in the entire new 90 states of America. God bless it. And since he's a Christian, he's also a liar. They're having a gubernatorial election. Kentucky, Stan, is one of those states that doesn't like to have elections the same time the rest of us do. So they elect their governor in odd-numbered years, like 2019. So they had a gubernatorial debate in Kentucky, Stan, between the Democratic candidate, Attorney General Steve Beshear, and the incumbent, Governor Matt Bevin, who was elected by poor people because he swore and promised to them that he would take their health care away. And Steve Beshear confronted him on the issue of the overall broader issue was that of constructing casinos in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, Stan. I presume that, it's a fact. Matt Bevin opposes casinos. Now, he was all for giving taxpayer money to a giant Ponzi scheme, a giant fraud called the ARK Experience, as hustled up by Ken Ham, who started out with the Creation Museum. Yeah. And that was okay. Now, granted, the Creation Museum would not exist if it were not for the massive infusions of welfare from the Commonwealth of Kentucky, because it's just not a lot of people want to see it. Because, I mean, it's one thing to travel to see the world's largest ball of twine or the castle made of corn, but, well, the Ark Encounter is a castle made of corn too far. And so Steve Beshear confronted him about the casino issue and pointed out that Matt Bevin had said that people all the time commit suicide on casino floors. You know, you're standing there at the craps table, you know, you got your number to make, let's say it's, six, and you snake eyes, and you just, you know, pull your Freedom Protector right out of your pocket and bang, right there at the table. That's what Matt Bevin says happens. And the funny thing is, when he made that claim, it was recorded. This may be one of the greatest cases of IOKIYAR that I've ever run across. When Steve Beshear confronted him with it, that he claimed that people kill themselves on casino floors, Matt Bevin said, "Well, I don't know where this comment about the casinos is. I've never said anything like that in my life. That's absolute malarkey." Beshear responded saying, "You deny saying that?" "I do deny saying it." Beshear responded, "Really? It's on tape." "Well, no, it isn't on tape. You're not telling the truth. Again, the truth matters. And if it's on tape, I want you to produce that tape and show people where I said this happens on the floor of casinos." Well, it was at WKDZ toward the latter part of July of this year. And, well, Lion Christian Matt Bevin said, exactly that. I mean, it was pretty goddamned obvious when you get right down to it. Well, let's see if I can get this to run. And let's check in the front end.
"I don't know where this comment about the casinos is. I've never said anything like that in my life. That's absolute malarkey. But
you,
I will say
deny
this.
Saying you were, that?
I do deny saying it."
"Really?"
"Yes."
"It's
I
on
said,
tape."
"I said, no, it isn't on tape. You're not telling the truth. Again, the truth matters. And if it's on tape, I want you to produce that tape and show people where I said this happens on the floor of casinos.
Every night somewhere
in America somebody takes their life in a casino.
You're not telling the truth. Again, the truth matters.
Did you hear him say it? Yeah.
I said this happens on the floor of casinos.
Every night somewhere in America, somebody takes their life in a casino.
Ta-da! You miserable lying sack of shit. But that's okay. Jesus will forgive you. Jesus is funny like that. You can lie, cheat, steal, kill, carry on, murder, rape, arson, whatever. All you got to do is, sorry, Jesus! And there you go. You can even violate that one fundamental tenet. Of course, Jesus didn't come up with it on his own. He picked it up from Hillel a couple of centuries earlier. But that, you know, don't do to other people things you'd hate to have done to you. Remember that one? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Yeah, not so much. At least not if you're a Christian. No. How about as an example? Dave Dobenmeyer. Coach Dave. We haven't heard from Coach Dave for a while. Recall that Coach Dave was terribly, terribly worried about his daughters when they were in college because they played softball, and, you know, there's nothing to make a lesbian out of a young woman like playing softball with women who have short hair and big posteriors. That's what Dave told us, because Dave's a follower of Jesus. But even though Jesus said don't hate on folks, that's not in Dave's Bible.
We don't make sodomy unthinkable, do we? We don't make it unthinkable. Why? Because
yeah, well, I know we don't make sodomy unthinkable, Dave, because you spend an inordinate amount of time thinking about sodomy. And I don't even want to think about what thinking about sodomy does to you or your blood flow or your endorphins or anything like that. We can't go from one week to the next without you obsessing about how gay people have sex. Yeah, I sure wish you could get your knob polished by some hunky dude and just get over it.
They've taught us the gospel of love. The gospel of love. And while we're following the gospel of love, we have a mayor butt plug who wants to be president of the United States.
You got that, right? He just called a major Democratic presidential candidate mayor butt plug. Hey, Dave. I'm just curious because, you know, you're over in Ohio, and they got Kroger's and Walmart's and whatnot in Ohio. I've never seen a butt plug for sale in Kroger's or Walmart or Sears or Kmart or Penny's or Dollar General or Big Lots even. I mean, all kinds of shit shows up at Big Lots, but never once have I seen a butt plug for sale in Big Lots. How is it, Dave, that you know what a butt plug is? But there's never anybody there to ask him those complicated theological questions. Do you go and research him, Dave? Do you research him on the interweb tubes when the little woman's asleep and the lights are out and dog's been fed and the cat's put out? It's not about the cat, Bob. Is that how you know about butt plugs, Dave? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe people send you butt plugs in the mail because Maybe you're the human version of one. Oh, these deep, deep philosophical questions. Deep brown philosophical questions that plague us from Wednesday to Wednesday to Wednesday and have, for 14 years. Tell me about the butt plugs, George. Dave? I'm sorry, Dave.
We have a mayor butt plug who wants to be president of the United States, and not a church that I know of has spoken out. Not Franklin Graham, not nobody has stood up and said, this man is not qualified to be president of the United States because he engages in deviant sex. Have you heard a man do that?
I'm pretty sure that they have. You're late to that party there, Dave. But here's the larger point. The Constitution is silent on sexuality as to the presidency. Barring the pronouns involved, it's also silent as to gender. I mean, it says he, and I guess back in the late 18th century, although I find it difficult to believe, I guess everybody was straight back then. So maybe the framers just assumed that everybody would be straight who became president. They sure didn't assume that everybody who became president wouldn't be a rapist, because the third president of the United States obviously was. Sorry about that, Sally. Well, see, that's entirely my point, Lady B. Lady B says, dude, I have never even used the word butt plug in a sentence until now. Who the fuck has thoughts like that? I mean, really? Out of all the mean and offensive names you can call someone, really? Just, wow. And I know you were raised in church, and so was I, Lady B, but you have to understand, who uses language like that, Lady B? Christians do. Christians do. That's who. And I have to call them Christians, because they call themselves Christians, and none of the allegedly decent Christians are willing to say that they're not. That's outside my pay grade. Now, like most unbelievers, I'm more familiar with what's in their holy book than probably north of 90% of Christians. And that's got a lot to do with why I'm not one. And I can say, for instance, that Coach Dave here does not exemplify what I understand to be the teachings of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life. I can say that it doesn't. His words do not appear to comport with the teachings. And I can be right about that. But I can't say he's not a Christian. Because not being one, I can't define it for them. Any more than I can say someone is or isn't a Muslim, is or isn't a Jew, is or isn't a Hindu, is or isn't a Jain, a Sikh, a practitioner of Shinto, Buddhism, animism. Now, I might be qualified to declare whether one is or is not participating in the saving grace of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. Because that rather new religion is sort of open source. The Flying Spaghetti Monster cult freely admits that they're more than happy to let people make it up as they go along, just like all the other religions. But I can't, no. That's for the allegedly decent Christians to do. And it's been done in the past. Like I said, countless thousands were slaughtered on May the 29th, 1453, when the armies of Mehmet II finally breached the walls of Constantinople. Sorry, I read, like I was saying last week with Jim, I read the book. It's fresh in my mind. And if you use your creative mind to contemplate those horrors, it fixes in your brain pretty thoroughly. Thousands of Christians died because other Christians sat back and said, well, you know, we've got philosophical differences with them, so who cares if the Muslims slaughter them? Because that's how Christianity rolls and always has. Blood and death, blood and death, blood and death. It's a death cult. It worships, literally worships, death. Which is part of what makes it so fucking gross. All the people, and in the very beginnings of things, all the people who said, no, Yeshua led a decent and moral and upright life, and he taught us to love one another. Let us seek to live our lives as Yeshua taught and as he lived his. And you know what the death cult Christians said? Die, heretic! And they slaughtered them. Whether it was the Gnostics, the Cathars, the Arians, dead. And that's why Christianity is today the death cult that it is. Sure would be nice if some of the decent Christians would say, sorry, bub, you're not a Christian. And you know, say it to his face. Because he believes in a burning hell. He believes in a God that loves him so much he's willing to torment him for all eternity. Say it to his face. Bub, you are gonna fry like a chicken in Popeyes. I mean, you're gonna sizzle, Dave! You're gonna snap, crackle, and pop, and I don't mean because you're made of puffed rice, sugar. It's gonna be hot where you're going. But the Christians don't want to fix Christianity. They're not interested in having it last another 1,000 years. I'll just let it die on the vine. It's fine by me.
Other than me? And what happened? Oh, do you think they printed this October 23rd, 2019 just because they were looking for some news? Or do you think, suppose they were setting me up? You know what's going on? Do you know that I've had 2 flat tires? My daughter's had 2 flat tires.
Well, your daughter's probably had the flat tires because they pissed off the short-haired, big-bottomed lesbians, Dave.
They take these little things and they throw these, I don't even know, the little curly things. They throw them down the end of our driveway, down by the mailbox.
Photos or it didn't happen, you lying sack of shit.
Yeah.
So, Coach, you're being targeted?
Well, I'm a hate monger, a homophobe.
Yeah, and an anti-Semite, too, but we'll deal with that another day.
Whatever that means. Like I'm afraid of homos? No, I'm afraid of what homosexuality will do to our children and to this nation. Why aren't you afraid of that? Why aren't you homophobic? Why don't we wear it proudly and say, yes, I am homophobic? phobic. I'm afraid of what homosexuality is going to do to our society, to our children, and to our culture. It has.
Can you tell us what that is, Dave? Maybe we'd get on board and be all chicken shit and afraid just like you if you'd just tell us what it is, Dave. What is it that homosexuality is doing to Merca? Is homosexuality putting children in cages? Is Donald Trump gay? Is Dr. Ronald Williams out in Missouri? Is he gay? Is that why he's tracking women's menstrual periods like some sort of fallopian Gestapo? Is that because of gay people? Is California on fire because of the gay? Don't answer that one. Don't answer that one. We already know. Are the sea levels rising because of gay people? Is the planet heating up to the point that humans may not be any longer able to live on it because of gay people? Do millions of children go to sleep hungry in this country every night because of gay people, Dave? Because I think with most of those things that I've mentioned, it's not because of gay people, unless all the gay people are secretly fucking closeted Republicans. Have gay people destroyed our international standing and our international relationships and alliances that we've had for the last near 80 fucking years? No, that's Republicans again, Dave. I'm a Republican phobe. That's what I am. I'm scared of Republicans. I'm afraid of what they are doing to this country and this country's children. Gay folks aren't running a church that rapes more children than it helps, Dave. You turd. Jesus. Funny, says Randy in PA. No, not really, he adds. How these limited government types are intent on invading our bedrooms. Ta-da! There you go! Did gay people keep desperately needed government funds from reaching Puerto Rico, Dave? Nope, again, that's Republicans.
Nothing to do with the individual homo. I got nothing wrong with the individual homo, but the promotion of homosexuality to our children makes me homophobic.
By the way, he's doing this apparently from a laundry room somewhere. One of these days he'll do it from a men's restroom in the basement of some airport. And then we'll see the real Dave Daubenmeyer. You know, it's not the individual Republican I'm scared of. It's the promotion of Republicanism. No, I'm scared of individual Republicans, too, because they walk into synagogues and shoot up people at a christening ceremony. Oh, no, not christening. Sorry, that's the wrong word. I apologize. At a bris. Individual Republicans shoot up people outside bars in Dayton, Ohio. Individual Christians shoot up people in Walmarts in El Paso. Individual Christians shoot up people in nightclubs in Orlando. People who hate the homos in the Orlando case, the Pulse nightclub, more than you do, Dave. Only they took action. Maybe he listened to your show, Dave. Maybe what you're doing there, Dave, is engaging in some straight-up stochastic right, Dave? And when they're not worrying about the gay folks, of course, we know that they're worrying about the precious little fetuses. But some, all fetuses are equal, but some fetuses are more equal than others. Enter Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Now, folks, because, look, I'll tell you something. I've had it with this stuff. I used to be somebody who would say, well, you know, look, we're never going to round up all the illegal immigrants and get them out of here. But you know what I say now? We should try. And I don't say that to be mean. And I don't hate Hispanic people. And I don't even hate illegal immigrants, folks.
You know what? E-Dub here, being an African-American man, I can... You can take what he just said. The now I don't. Everything he said up to now, you can replace Hispanics or illegals with the word Negroes. And it sounds just like white folks were saying back in the 1950s. Now, I don't hate black folks. No.
But this is my sense of it. And thank God for President Trump, who's actually been reducing the number of illegal immigrants who are entering the country.
Yeah, he's reduced it by what? 7, 8, 9 little children dead in our custody? Yeah, he's reducing it.
But what happens if we get a president who is not as aggressive, who is not as vigilant about protecting our border? It's going to start all over again. See,
remember, just like Father Robert Morey in Florence, South Carolina, this fucker is probably running on a 501c3. Tax-exempt status. And politicking all over the place. Yeah. That's a good question, Brother Deacon. Why does Dave Daubenmeyer, why is he so butthurt at about Mayor Buttplug, but he was all on board with Justice Boof? Gotta be some butt play to Boof too, baby. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But old E-Dub. E-Dub scared. E-Dub's ever been as scared as what Dave is, Coach Dave, but they skirt of different things. Well, I don't know. Maybe there's some gay illegals too. Bringing brightly colored maracas from south of the border.
I see this as a never-ending situation that is going to continue until ultimately our country is overwhelmed. I'm very serious about that because the birth rate among Americans is very, very low. And if you have millions of people coming into this country illegally over a period of time and they're having lots of children.
This is the we're going to be overrun by the other argument that was ever so popular in 1930s Germany. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say that maybe more Americans would fuck more if there were fewer E-Dubs and Daves out there making the very idea of having sex a dirty, repulsive thing. Maybe if there were less neo-Calvinist assholes out there constantly talking about sex, ordinary Americans might have time to light a candle or two, Netflix and chill, open a bottle of wine, or maybe just spontaneously fuck in the back seat of a car. Or maybe I'm just crazy. Yep, absolutely. Trey pointing out Republicans are the most terrified people on the planet. And adding, of course, since we didn't play the offertory hymn this evening, and it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Ron in Raleigh says, I'm willing to bet. Would you like to wager a euro on whether Barack Obama deported more undocumented people than Donald Trump? I'll do some research. Won't take the bet, because it's probably, well, I'm almost 99.9% ivory soap sure that it's true.
Eventually, it overwhelms the culture. Talk to anybody who lives in Miami. You can't get a job in Miami if you can't speak Spanish.
And this is a problem. Why? Trying to figure that out. There's always been a large Spanish-speaking population, being as how South Florida has a serious proximity to, you know, Cuba, which is not known for its large population of speakers of the coins English. Mm-mm.
That's what I've been told. It's very, very difficult to get a professional job in Miami if you're not bilingual. You got to speak English and Spanish. Is that where we're headed for the entire country? We're almost there now with all the, I mean, you know, press this number, press this button for Spanish, press this button for English. I mean,
I've been waiting for that one for a while. I knew it was pissing off the white wingers. And, their auxiliaries like E-Dub here.
Why, how dare they? What? You want to call your prescriptions in for a refill, but you don't speak English? Die.
Come on. We're an English speaking country.
No, we're not. No, we're not. Poor old E-Dub. He's so goddamn dumb. He has no idea of the multitude of languages that not only weren't English, but weren't even European, that were spoken on this continent before 1492. The first people that settled the areas, the first Europeans that settled the areas that became the United States, you know, that English-speaking country, weren't English-speaking. They were, among others, Dutch, Spanish, Swedes. Yes, Swedes. French. And the English speakers were kind of late to the party. Shit! When we became a country, when our money wasn't worth the effort to print it, You know what the national currency was? As much or more than the English pound, it was the Spanish gold doubloon. And the memorialized piece of eight. Cowbell for the Brother Deacon Asa. We're an English-speaking country? Really? You ever heard Trump speak, asshole?
Ding.
Yeah, okay, well, we can... hey, look, this is the kind of thing that made Christians slaughter each other. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, I have to disagree with you, Bob. I don't think Jesus Christ's daily gear was a dress. It was more like a gown to me.
Gown, dress. I mean, the French word for dress is robe, R-O-B-E.
Yes, that's right. Guys, every morning you get up, you pad off to the shower, you put on your bath robe. It's your bath dress. as Steve in New York points out. Sex, sex, sex. I think it's very simple, Steve says. These people are profoundly unhappy and afraid. Ron and Raleigh, on the other hand, says, well, fuck me, Ronan. Why do these assholes have to lie to build up comb-over Caligula? Here are the numbers. Maggots will not do the research. Let's check out the link. Waiting. Working. Well, maybe it'll open someday. There it is, Axios, from June 21st, 2019. Trump isn't matching Obama deportation numbers. Told you I wouldn't take the bet. Ain't stupid. Steve in New York asks, what's the deal? You know what? Several months ago, I walked into a McDonald's in Washington Heights, Upper West Side. All I heard was Spanish, no English. And you know what? I loved it. I loved the fact that I live in a city where I could experience that. Yeah. E-Dub hates that.
And I don't have a problem with accommodating people who speak another language. I have a problem with trying to change the whole culture to make it as if we're bilingual and that everybody's got to speak two languages. That's not who we are.
Yeah, we're stupid shits. Doesn't matter how many studies there are that show that if you start teaching a child a second language when they're about 4 or 5 years old or even younger, that wires their brain for even better learning. Doesn't matter how many studies there are that say that if you expose children to a second language, that their understanding of their own native tongue will be heightened, because old E-Dub here doesn't want any heightened understandings. He doesn't want people with a real and genuine comprehension of their own mother tongue. He, like Donald Trump, loves the uneducated, because that's the only way he gets to keep cashing those sweet, 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 sweet tax-exempt checks. Hell, I'll bet old E-Dub doesn't even have an abridged edition of the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language in his studio. By God, I do! You fucking moron. Yeah, I love hearing foreign languages. Because, you know, I had my Latin and some French and some German, can't speak any of them. But I like trying to pick out words here and there. Oh, I bet I know what that word is. I even think it's kind of fascinating on the voice prompts on the telephone. And I guess it's a philosophical choice, or maybe it's dialectical. Not in the philosophical sense. The choice between presione el nueve and marque el dos. I bet you Flavio could be helpful in that regard. Why do you press nine, mark two? Maybe it makes more sense to say presione. But then again, an argument can be made for mark, especially if one is on a digital device where there's really nothing to press. It's just a flat screen. You're just marking it. What? 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 Is that to say that even foreign languages have nuance and differences in meaning? Oh, Jesus, no, please, not that. I I know. Guilty as charged, Randy. Bob, you're getting entirely too much pleasure out of these Fundy's shortcomings. Well, all we got in common is our misery, so the least we can do is share it. And when some truly high-quality stupid comes along, you got to enjoy it, Randy. Damn Skippy. Oh, Lady B, you asked why someone won't tell that guy Dave he's not a Christian? Well, that would mean they're not in on the grift, Bob. Some folks have no problem selling their souls, but darling, those who were afraid to call out lies because of fear of losing their job or status will always lose them. Just ask the Egyptian Jews. I believe in God. I'm also a black woman, so my views on justice are biased, but more realistic. If there are any gay folks out there who want to enact proper earthly justice, get him in a compromising situation involving a gimp suit, a butt plug, and a naked pool boy. Talking about Dave there. Fuck it. Photoshop him into it. He's probably got so many skeletons in his closet he wouldn't be able to defend himself anyway. Not everyone will be punished after death or from karma. That's why we need to make sure it happens while they're alive, so don't hurt them. Just humiliate them into abject poverty. God, Lady B, I love the way you think. And it's kind of like something I noticed the other day, because of all the people to come out in defense of Katie Hill, who it turns out got smeared by, it was a right-wing smear job. The woman who is an editor at Red State, a woman who is one vowel away to being named Van Lier, and Red State itself is owned by Salem Communications, which is a Christian broadcast media corporation. You know, like Christianity, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Well, it turns out Ms. Van Lier is actually a Republican operative, and that she worked for Katie Hill's opponent in the election, her Republican opponent. And that's how they, and that's the origin of that filthy little smear that drove Katie Hill from her seat in the House. That she damned well should have stood there and defended, but that's not for me to say. But of all the people to come to her defense, guess who? Matt Gaetz, who said, well, you know, I feel bad for her. No one should have photos in their past used to shame them. Which was kind of a tell, and I was reminded of it by what Lady B said. Fuck it, Photoshop him in it. He's probably got so many skeletons in his closet he wouldn't be able to defend himself anyway. Matt Gaetz is probably up to his eyeballs in gimp suits. And butt plugs. This, by the way, marking the second time in her entire life that Lady B has used butt plug in a sentence. I'm so sorry, Lady B. I'm so sorry. But yeah, so anybody looking around out there, Matt Gaetz. Yeah, well. Yeah, Brother Deacon Asa says, hey, maybe E-Dub wouldn't turn out so stupid had his parents bothered to teach him their native Swahili at a young age. He would have been the better for it. Stephen New York remarking, something tells me E-Dub wouldn't be so concerned if the other language were from a non-shithole country like, say, Norway? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he doesn't want him speaking Hindi or anything. Ah! Boy, this is only going to be funny to a fairly narrow segment of the community, but it's funny to me. Regarding phone instructions, Scott in San Diego says, And if you want to speak with Jack Webb in the great beyond, press Mark 7. Bing! Bing! Yeah, I remember the visual. And going back to what Steve in New York said about going into a McDonald's where he did not hear English, I've been in there too. Right next to the Quality Inn that we've stayed in Arlington, you can walk to a McDonald's and you don't have to, you know, risk your life. It's just sitting right there. You don't have to cross any highways. Just boom, right there. And there wasn't an English-speaking person in there with the possible exception of me. But they didn't have any problem understanding me when I said, may I please have a biscuit and gravy? And they replied, no biscuit, no gravy. I remarked on this a year or so ago, and Sparky said, hey, our McDonald's doesn't have biscuits and gravy. And that's Northern California, state of damn Jefferson. But yeah, that McDonald's in Arlington, Virginia does not have biscuits and gravy, and that's a hard thing for a guy like me. I had to get by with a sausage McMuffin, no egg. And yet somehow or another, they got that too. So, you know, I was the asshole in that scenario. They were bilingual. I wasn't. They were ahead of me. They were more committed to having a job and working and carrying this country on their backs than I was. Although, to be fair, I love foreign languages, and given the opportunity, I'd learn a bunch of them, at least enough to get around a little bit. Because it's fun, and it makes you a better participant in life on earth. I mean, Jesus, you got rednecks here in West Virginia who speak Turkey. I don't mean Turkish. I mean Turkey. They can't, if they were suddenly transported to Mexico City, they'd piss themselves because they can't even say donde el baño. But they can sit in the woods with a 12-gauge shotgun and a little box and a little stick, and they can scrape it and squeak on it, so like, and they can make it sound just like a female turkey so that some horny-ass gobbler will come out and go, want to get laid, fuck me, need it, some of these guys speak Turkey better than they speak English. How did we get here on Prayer Meeting Wednesday? Jesus. Clarence in South Carolina stands says, be careful what you wish for. E-Dub is only a white supremacist Civil War dream away from being silenced and removed. There must not be any mirrors in his household. He needs a wake-up call. I wonder if he's ever seen Dave Chappelle's bit on the black-white supremacist. It's too much to hope for, isn't it? It probably has dirty words in it. He wouldn't find it at all funny. Oh, yeah, okay, Randy getting in on the act now. And if you want to speak to Speed Racer, press Mark 5. God, how I love this program. You guys make it so much fun. And we, you know, there's been very few mentions of Donald Trump this evening. And I think that's kind of healthy. By the way, Ron in Raleigh says, my only problem with all that, forgive me, Bob, heavily accented Spanish in the drive-thru is my bane. That's why I go inside. Spanish is spoken inside as well, but those garbled drive-thru speakers make it so I can hardly understand English. Exactly. It's not the Spanish. It's the crummy tech. Same thing here. I got hillbillies, and I speak hillbilly. But you pull up you pull up to the Dairy Queen, and you try to go through the drive-through there, and it sounds it sounds like Charlie Brown's second grade teacher.
Fries with that?
Fuck. And from time to time, if it's really bad, I just say, I'll just drive it around and tell you. Because, you know, they run cheap on the... And I feel so sorry for anybody who has to walk around with a job with one of those godforsaken headset microphones on and that little referee pack on their waist trying to make sense out of what's... Because it can't be any better in their headset than it is out of the speaker on the other end. So that means that you sound like...
Chicken straw and a whole toast.
Oh, and I neglected to mention something, because I was feeling really bad about something early this morning. A new fire broke out in Southern California, in Simi Valley. And the news alert started hitting my phone that they were close to having to evacuate the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. And I kept it to myself, but I confess, and there are so many people who have been hurt so badly by these fires that I did not want to even allow myself to think that I might be something less than properly empathetic to what's going on. But the Ronald Wilson Reagan old 666 himself library, you reckon we could steal the 666 off Jared Kushner's building and put it on the Reagan library? That'd be fun. The idea that repository of whitewashed and papered over criminality of the single dirtiest presidency that this country has ever known, at least until we got this one, the idea that thing might burn didn't break me up. And before I could say anything, I've got members of the Horn Family Community Congregation reaching out to me going, Reagan Library is about to burn. Burn, motherfucker, burn! Burn, baby, burn it. Disco Inferno. Because, well, I think Reagan probably hated disco, too. To be fair, Ronald Wilson Reagan probably didn't even acknowledge any music after Benny Goodman. It was probably Nancy that was the big Beach Boys fan. But then I thought a little more. And I realized that I probably don't want the Ronald Wilson Reagan 666 library to go up in smoke. Because somehow or another, we the people of the United States, trying to form that more perfect union, would probably be on the fucking hook for it and have to rebuild the goddamn thing. And the last thing in the world the people of California need is to be on the hook for rebuilding that pile of trash. So, you know, kind of just saying. Oh, and Floyd, one last time, says Lady B. Floyd, one last time. I wrote this months ago and just remembered it. Far away, across the fields, the tolling of the primetime bell draws the viewers to their seats to view the softly lit screen's magic spells. That's quality. Old 666 canceled the music, says Randy in PA. Yeah, and they talk about cancel culture now. Subject line, foreign languages. I knew we'd hear from Flavio. I was treated very well in France. I even managed to get a fiancé. You know why? I spoke the language when I went there, even though it was a bookish French. When I returned after my year abroad, I was fully idiomatically fluent. Now, Flavio, don't be so hard on yourself. Don't be running around telling people you're idiomatic. There ain't no call for that. But that all goes hand in hand with my argument that if we really want to be a better species, we need to figure out a way to live longer. We need at least 500 years to really be effective as a species. Because then we can do things like learn languages, take long views of history, read all the books we need to read. And, you know, maybe, in the optimistic view of things, not the dystopian view, that's the Earth that we want. That's the Star Trek future, where people live 300-400 years and have time to maximize their humanity. Make sense? Subject line, Reagan Library. Steve in New York says, oh, dear, dear Bob, as a lover of history as you are, even that den of iniquity burning down would make sure documents memorializing an albeit awful time in history would be gone forever. I know. I just can't quite bring myself to equate the Reagan Library incinerating with, say, the Library of Alexandria. Cali Fires, Ron and Raleigh says, today on Sam Cedar's show, they played a clip of Dave Rubin with Tucker Carlson where he explained that because PG&E kept records of the ethnic makeup of their employees, that was the proximate cause of the fires in California. I know. I saw that. I resisted the urge to play it. They blame it on woke culture. But as we move toward the close of the program, just one last reminder, whether it's E-Dub or Dave or Nitwit Nero, everything works together to bring us to the end times, especially if it's happening in the deserts of the Middle East. How do we know this? Because Billy Graham's other kid, Ann Graham Lotz, says so. And she said so talking to Jim Baker in between segments where they hustled the bucket pudding and tried to convince the rubes to actually eat some of it.
I was asking you in the green room about your brother. We were talking about Syria and Trump and all, and you commented on it.
Yeah, Trump and all, I think that's a new pharmaceutical that will make you as stupid and incoherent as Donald Trump. Hopefully it's not out on the streets, but I have a sneaking suspicion, you know, that it is.
I don't know, you know, who knows what's going on over there, but I believe, whether the president is aware of it or not, God has placed him in office. The Bible tells us that, you know, that he puts people in office and that God has used him in an amazing way to stand up for life, to stand up for the nation of Israel, to appoint judges that abide by the Constitution and the rule of law. And so
I'm going to run over just a little bit, probably, because that appoints judges to right. We're going to deal with that in a second. Back to Ann Graham Lotz.
So I voted for him in the beginning because of the alternative. I couldn't, because of the policies of the alternative, I couldn't vote for her. And right. then I became a supporter. Now I'm almost a fan. But this last move, when he's pulled back from Syria and exposed the Kurds to Turkey, that I'm like a lot of people, what in the world is going on? But I.
Now hold on here. Because remember, this lady is a Christian. No, that's no lady. This woman is a Christian. And everyone is supposed to be precious. Every life precious to a Christian. And yet she just said, pulled back and exposed the Kurds.
But this last move, when he's pulled back from Syria and exposed the Kurds to Turkey, that I'm like a lot of people, what in the world is going on? But because I believe God has used him, whether he really is knows it or not, I believe like King Cyrus or others in the Old Testament, Nebuchadnezzar, God uses them. And so I thought, has God caused him to go against all of his advisors, all of the military people, and done something that God wanted him to do, whether he...
If that's the case, God is a serious fuck-up.
He knows it's God or not. Maybe he was just bullheaded or stubborn or somebody rubbed him wrong. But anyway, he pulled us out, and the thought occurred to me, there's a war prophesied in Ezekiel 38 mm-hmm. that has not yet taken place. And
actually, stupid, it already did take place, but never mind.
I think some of that prophecy, you know, I'm not a prophecy expert, but I feel like some of that chapter mixes it up with Armageddon. So there's... you know how prophecy does. You can have a verse about this and a verse, next verse about another one. But
you know how prophecy is. You can make it say anything you want to, depending on how deep you are into the bottle of old panther piss.
All seems to go together. Anyway, that's right. But there is a war that's predicted that has never happened. Mm-hmm. And when Gog, the prince of Magog, who some people believe is Putin and Russia, and they come down from the north and they align with.
Oh, Hal Lindsey's going to sue her for gimmick infringement so bad. Hal Lindsey was working that Gog and Magog shit back in the 1970s when big bad Vladdy Daddy was just a little pissant junior KGB creep.
Turkey and Syria and Russia, or Syria and Russia and the Sudan and Libya, and then they come up and they go against Israel. And the Ezekiel 38 says that God...
You left out China, stupid. There's the whole business about there being a series of dams on the Tigris and Euphrates that'll make the riverbeds dry up so the kings of the east can march across on dry land just like it's prophesied. Shit, lady, I don't even believe this stuff, and I know more of it than you do.
Has done it because he's bringing them against Jerusalem because he's going to judge them and he's going to destroy them. And so I wondered... Did God move Trump to move Americans out of the way, freeing up Russia to come down, like the Bible says they will? And then a friend who's in the news business sent me a picture of our American base in northern Syria that the day after we left was filled with Russian troops, and they had moved into our Russian base. They're now in northern Syria. They're, you know,
every now and then the goddess of irony gets hold of her. She said, have moved into our Russian base. Ta-da!
So I'm just wondering if it's like a chessboard, and if the pieces are being moved to set up maybe the last of the last days, but yes. Maybe also that Ezekiel 38 war that has yet to be.
Yeah, no. But anything to make an excuse... for the nitwit in the White House. Oh, he may not know it, but God's using him because God's ginning up a good war to slaughter a bunch of the people that he says he loves so much. But way, 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 way back. Okay, so shut up, Jim.
Over there, but I believe... Whether the president is aware of it or not, God has placed him in office. The Bible tells us that, you know, that he puts people in office and that God has used him in an amazing way.
And you should know that as in order to back up what she's saying, they They chiron onto the screen Daniel 2:21, saying of God, "It is he who changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings." That is a pretty deep dive into the evangelical mindset. They already view Donald Trump as a king, not a mortal representative of the people, not first among equals, but a fucking monarch. A monarch. Even though the flag of the Commonwealth of Virginia bears the Latin inscription, Sic Semper Tyrannis, which is a reference to king killing. Among other things, it's the Latin motto that John Wilkes Booth yelled from the stage of Ford's Theater after he put a bullet into Abraham Lincoln's brain and jumped from the box to the stage. They are actively promoting Donald Trump to we the people as an absolute monarch and a law unto himself.
To stand up for life, to stand up for the nation of Israel, to appoint judges that abide by the Constitution and the...
To appoint judges that abide by the Constitution and the rule of law. That's what I wanted to get to. As the Big Lebowski would say, Steve notes in by email, "What in God's holy name is she blathering about?" Yeah. To appoint judges who uphold the Constitution and the rule of law. Like I said, we're going to run over and check in with the real world. And something that happened today that has to do with something that happened 4 years ago, because it's a law story. And it takes a while for the law to make sure things are completely and totally screwed. It has to do with a little place, and I don't know, maybe Lady B or Kevin in Colorado Springs or our buddy Johan knows where this is. It's a little place called Greenwood Village, Colorado. And a more fucked up and uniquely American fact pattern you're not going to hear in a while. The story is of a guy who, well, screwed up. Robert Jonathan Seacat, S-E-A-C-A-T, went to Walmart in Greenwood Village, Colorado, and for whatever reason, but generally speaking, someone doesn't do this unless they are have some sort of a pathology going on or are desperately poor. Robert Jonathan Seacat, back in 2014, 2015, I'm sorry, it wasn't in Greenwood Village, it was in Aurora, where it could be deadly to go to the movies, because freedom. Robert Jonathan Seacat went into the Walmart in Aurora and filched a shirt and a couple of belts. Okay? That's where this all begins. He shoplifts a shirt and a couple of belts. Well, Walmart,
by God, they prosecute shoplifters to the fullest extent of the law, Pilgrim.
And so they called the 5-0, and the 5-0 engaged in a desperate chase of the aforementioned Mr. C-Cat. And the aforementioned Mr. C-Cat ran like hell and winds up in Greenwood Village, Colorado. In Greenwood Village, Colorado, he goes into an apartment that does not belong to him. He is not a tenant there. He's not a resident, a lodger. They don't know him. And he holes up there with a gun. And there's a 19-hour-long standoff. As he has backed himself into a bathroom. And over the course of that 19-hour standoff, the police,
determined to get their man, the desperate man who stole a shirt and two goddamn belts from Walmart,
put artillery into that apartment to the point that when it was all over, projectiles were still stuck in the walls and glass and wooden paneling had crumbled to the floor below where the rounds went in. The family that owned the place, well, their belongings were completely trashed, and the rooms were just full of insulation and crumbled sheetrock. News reports say that the place looked like Osama bin Laden must have lived there. It was June 2015. After the 19-hour standoff and the artillery barrage from the police, Mr. C-Cat was finally captured alive. The young man who lived there with his girlfriend and her 9-year-old child were rendered homeless as a result of this brave and heroic work by the police. And then the city of Greenwood Village moved in, condemned the building, and ordered it to be demolished. Now, the city offered $5,000 for temporary rental assistance and for the insurance deductible. But when it came to actually making good for the damage they did, the city of Greenwood Village looked at the victims and said, "Fuck you." So the family had to sue. And so that's all back in the past. What happens in the present is today the 10th United States Circuit Court of Appeals handed down its ruling. And that 3-judge panel ruled unanimously that the city of Greenwood Village, Colorado, was absolutely within its rights and right to tell the family whose property was destroyed to fuck off. And the Tenth Circuit said,
well, you know, this may seem unfair, but it's not like it was one of our houses that got destroyed.
No, they didn't say that last part. That's just the upshot of it. And they declared that the city of Greenwood Village was acting within its police power to destroy these innocent people's homes and then leave them uncompensated. And said that when police have to protect the public, they can't be burdened with the condition that they compensate whoever's damaged by their actions. The owner, Leo Leck, said, just goes to show that they can blow up your house, throw you out on the streets, and say, see you later, deal with it. What happened to us should never happen in this country, ever. But the police were acting in good faith, and the court said, well, no, this wasn't a takings under the Fifth Amendment because, well, the state didn't exercise eminent domain. They didn't take away the property by formal governmental action. And Steve in New York got there before I did. The 10th United States Circuit Court of Appeals is the same circuit court of appeals that gave us Ann's boy Neil to go and sit on the Supreme Court, having authored a dissenting opinion that said African-American truck drivers should freeze to death in their trucks if they don't want to be fired when their trucks break down in killing cold. Welcome to Justice in America. And if this case stands, if they can do it here, they can do it anywhere. Mr. Leck has been drained dry trying to rebuild his property and pursue ha! Justice. This is what you get from the kind of Federalist Society scum that they put forward to people like Nitwit Nero to replace empty seats. Bear in mind, Nitwit Nero got to replace Ann's boy Neil on the 10th Circuit when he went moving on up to a deluxe Supreme Court in the sky. Mr. Leck says he doesn't know if he's going to appeal to the Supreme Court because he says it seems that he has no luck. And the sad thing is, seeking justice in this country was not designed to operate on luck. But guess what? In Republican world, in Trump world, well, luck may be all you have, and deserving's got nothing to do with it. So that's the kind of judges that Ann Lott Graham is talking about, God wanting Donald Trump to appoint. Just so we're clear on it, on the matter. So, that's the program for this evening. We got one more day of Fundraising Free Radio tomorrow. And I have loved every one of them. Thank you all so much for sharing your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to all of you who keep the program going through your kind contributions, either by scheduled subscriptions or by, you know, a la carte kick-ins through the course of the month. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve in the chat room earlier. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know. The men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Pizza's on its way, son. Later, y'all.